from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. This is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Jackson Dirks in Sioux Falls. Today we have updates from South Dakota's 101st legislative session. Up first, property taxes and the latest out of the State House on that, housing dollars used to support airport expansion, school lunches bill set for hearing Monday. Following State House coverage, former Governor Kristi Noem is no longer the head of the Department of Homeland Security, and even more. It's Thursday, March 5th. Here are today's stories. The rubber has met the road this session, and while a coalition has formed around a property tax package, questions remain on both sides of the debate. How to get it across the finish line, the next steps of the battle, and if this is the right set of policies are still in the minds of political viewers the state over. SDPB CJ Keen has this update.
The marriage of Senate Bill 96, the governor's original tax package, and Senate Bill 245, a response from lawmakers seeking broader cuts, seems to have momentum in the State House. SB 96 is an opt-in system, allowing counties to select a higher sales tax to fund property tax relief. SB 245 creates a property tax relief fund based on dollars funneled from the state's G fund. Governor Larry Roden says he was always open to more than one proposal being the answer, but acknowledges the long road to reach this point.
We want to cover our goals of targeted relief, and then a broader sense, you know, a fairness point in statewide relief. There are tons of ideas already floating around of people kind of anxious to get their hands on that point three, that $110 million, and looking for ways to spend it. What better way to spend it than to give it back to the citizens of the state of South Dakota?
Ultimately, it's a plan Republican leadership seems proud of after a discussion that harkened back to the 2025 summer study on the issue. Assistant House Majority Leader Marty Overweg says that question of fairness is pertinent for smaller communities across the state. That means to him any targeted relief needs to be complemented with a statewide plan.
This state is very diverse. Douglas County, where I live, doesn't have a motorcycle rally every year that brings in millions of dollars, or a mall like Sioux Falls does, right? So you're not going to ever find one plan that's probably going to fit everybody.
Overweg says the conversation, despite its bumps and battles, created a productive look at the question of property taxes.
From the outside looking in, it's kind of inside baseball here. This is how we work. You know, a lot of times stuff doesn't happen till the last week. You know, everybody has to shoot down other ideas. We have to talk about it. And I think that's our job, is to discuss all matters and see which ones come up and still alive at the last week. And, you know, they're usually the best.
However, some are concerned with the possibilities of others getting caught in the crossfire. If the state were to hypothetically abolish all property taxes, one of the biggest losers of that exchange would be public schools. While these plans don't do that, there are questions of potential unintended consequences of cuts to these dollars. Senate Majority Leader Jim Melhoff says this package does a better job of fairly distributing the tax burden across the state.
Funding education is disproportionately on the backs of property owners, and probably owner-occupied property owners. There's been a shift over the last few years, a little bit more towards that group, and this would provide some relief to that demographic.
Some reject this premise entirely, though. Reynold Nessaba is a former Democratic state senator. Since retiring from the State House, he's returned to work as a professor with a doctorate of economics at Augustana University. He says he agrees, to some extent, with Melhoff.
Going back to Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations in 1776, economists agree that the most important principle of taxation is ability to pay, or they often couch it in terms of fairness.
However, the path to a truly fairer system, according to Nessaba, has been completely missed during the property tax debate.
If we're going to raise sales taxes on people that don't own property, and you're going to take that income out of the pockets of people who are tenants, and you're going to redistribute some of that money to people who own mansions, that's immoral. That's wrong.
Nessaba believes those most impacted by this policy are found in the lower tax brackets.
If you are a low-income person in South Dakota, you pay a much higher share of your income in taxes than you do if you're wealthy. And it's because we rely on a tax system that is regressive. And regressive isn't a pejorative term, it's a descriptive term. It means it's a system that your rate, or your share of income paid in taxes, goes down as your income goes up. It disproportionately adversely affects the poor.
He adds, if South Dakotans truly care about fairness, That means creating a better system.
How to stop protecting the rich from higher taxes in South Dakota. That's the one thing that our South Dakota tax system does a great job of. By having no corporate income tax, no personal income tax, the rich in South Dakota pay very little.
It's important to note that Nessebar, who's no longer serving in the State House, does not reflect the opinions of current sitting lawmakers, many of whom are on record in agreement that there is an issue with the property tax system as currently enforced. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Pierre.
One of the most significant efforts for homeowner-occupied property tax relief this session is heading to the governor's desk. Senate Bill 96 creates an optional 0.5% sales tax for counties. The revenue generated would head into a property tax reduction fund and be used to provide relief. The bill is Governor Larry Roden's proposal for property tax relief. The bill favors counties that typically bring in sales tax, such as Minnehaha and Pennington counties, which drew some opposition. Opponents argue relief could come off the backs of the poorest individuals through a sales tax. However, proponents argue some areas could see relief as high as 35%. That's according to the governor's website, which shows a rough estimate of expected relief. Following House approval, Governor Roden has the chance to sign his proposal into law. Despite a bumpy road, a bill expanding free and reduced school lunches is set to be heard on the Senate floor. The Senate Appropriations Committee voted to table the bill Thursday, but later that day it was revived on the Senate floor in a legislative maneuver known as a smokeout. It's set to be heard Monday. The bill is brought by Sioux Falls Democrat Kaden Whitman. It's the fourth year she's brought this or similar legislation. Opponents raise concerns over cost. Majority Leader Jim Melhoff says he only truly controls his own vote.
I don't particularly like that bill. I certainly understand why it's being brought. It pulls at the right heartstrings, I think. But at the end of the day, for me, if you're going to have kids, you need to be responsible for feeding them. And the state shouldn't be taking up the responsibility for folks who aren't able to do it.
Sitting beside Melhoff at the same press conference, Assistant Majority Leader Carl Perry explains why he believes this bill should become law.
I was young a long time ago, and I remember times where my mother was a single mother, and it was not always easy for our family to be able to survive. And, you know, one of the things that really is helpful is these type of programs. Is it overreach? Could be. Are there people that are going to say no? Absolutely. But there are people that will say yes, and I'll be one of those.
The proposal's fiscal note estimates a cost of roughly $600,000 to the state annually. A bill allowing loans for the expansion of airports advances out of the State House. It heads to the governor's desk. Senate Bill 76 allows dollars in the state's Housing Infrastructure Fund to be used to help airport expansion. It's aimed at providing state aid to the Sioux Falls and Rapid City airports. Loans can be provided for up to $15 million at a 2% interest rate. All loans must be paid back within 20 years. The dollars would revert to the Housing Infrastructure Fund as they're paid back. The fund was created in 2023 to support career housing. Lawmakers debated whether the bill is an appropriation, which requires a two-thirds majority. Ultimately, the House settled it required only a simple majority since it's a fund transfer. It passes with a 43-24 vote in the House of Representatives. South Dakotan lawmakers are looking to define man and woman in state statute. Opponents say a bill doing so could negatively impact individual freedoms and taxpayers' pockets. House Bill 1184 looks to define man, woman, male, female, and other gendered terms. It defines female as an individual who naturally has, had, will have, or would have, but for a congenital anomaly or disruption, the reproductive system that produces, transports, and utilizes eggs for fertilization. The definition for male follows the same language but relates to using sperm for fertilization. Del Rapids Republican Speaker of the House John Hansen's bringing the bill. He says it's to answer a question.
What is a woman? What is a man? These are questions that should have clear, objective, and biological answers. And yet across this nation, and even here in South Dakota, we've seen confusion take root in our laws and in our policies and in our institutions. And that is why this bill matters.
Hansen and an advocacy group called Family Voice Action spoke in favor of the bill to the Senate Judiciary Committee. Numerous lobbyists and private citizens opposed. Dawson Lewis is one of those private citizens. He told stories of South Dakota's troubled history with what he calls the other. Lewis compares this bill to South Dakota's mistreatment of Native Americans and African Americans.
Is this really just about fear of the other? To conclude, South Dakota has many great traditions. 4th of July parades, small town street dances, arguing if coyotes or jackrabbits are better. But we have a dark tradition of attacking those who are different. And please let us end that tradition and vote no on this bill.
In addition to calling the bill an attack on transgender individuals, opponents say changing the definition in state law could lead to legal and fiscal challenges. They say local governments, state agencies, and schools will have to change the definition in policies and forms that already exist. They contend that takes time and dollars. Hansen shrugs off that argument. He points to lawsuits over South Dakota's ban on transgender athletes in women's sports.
We obviously prevailed in those suits, and we've prevailed in other suits as well.
The committee sends the bill to the Senate floor on a 7-0 vote. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks.
Legislative coverage on SDPB is supported by the South Dakota Bar Foundation, SDN Communications, Missouri River Energy Services, and your membership in the Friends of SDPB. Thank you.
Former South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem is out as Department of Homeland Security Secretary. President Donald Trump says he's replacing her with Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen. This comes after Noem faced bipartisan criticism from Congress over her leadership. Noem left her role as South Dakota governor in early 2025 after Trump named her to the high-ranking cabinet position. Prior to that, she had a nearly two-decade career in state politics. Noem was first elected to the state legislature in 2006. She went to represent the state in the U.S. House before being elected governor in 2018. Trump says Noem is taking a position in the newly formed Shield of the Americas, which he described as a new security initiative. State officials say another round of Operation Prairie Thunder saturation patrols recently concluded. That operation took place in Watertown toward the end of February. The Department of Public Safety says it led to 11 arrests. Four of those involved contacting Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. State leaders announced Operation Prairie Thunder last summer. They say it's a series of saturation patrols involving state and local law enforcement agencies targeting crime and immigration enforcement. There have been 11 patrols so far. State data shows this has led to 443 individuals in custody, about two-thirds of these on drug charges. They've also resulted in 93 ICE contacts. A standout basketball player in Pine Ridge has a night for the record books.
It's your morning in play. I'm STPB's Josh Chilson, joined this morning by STPB's sports content producer, Nate Weck. Nate, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well, Josh. How about you?
I'm doing great. Nate, a big story this week, basketball history made in South Dakota. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so it was a Tuesday night playoff game between Pine Ridge and Lakota Tech. It's two schools, not separated by very many miles whatsoever. And they had met in the playoffs for region play. You know, Pine Ridge got a very solid victory, but it was the performance of Marvin Richard III, their senior standout basketball player that is going to University of South Dakota to play next year. He had 73 points in the game. Now, that performance is the most impressive scoring performance for a single game in South Dakota high school boys basketball history. Broke a record that was set, I believe, in the 1950s. There was a 72-point performance by Adelbert Gillum out of Argonne's, and that was way back in 53. So a 73-point performance by Marvin Richard III breaks the all-time single-game record. I mean, just not what I had on my bingo card for a Tuesday night, I tell you that much.
Yeah, really impressive performance, and looking forward to following him as he stays in state at UST. Beyond that, you've been covering state high school wrestling tournament. What's been going on there?
Yeah, so the state individual wrestling tournament took place in Sioux Falls this past week and weekend. You know, there's hundreds and hundreds of kids that are in this, right? So it's really hard. You know, there's tons of great storylines all over the place, that kind of thing. But one of the girls that I kind of had my eye on was a girl that ended up really pulling off a fabulous upset in the semifinal round. Took down an undefeated opponent and then ended up winning the state championship. And that girl's name in the 170 class for the girls division is Blair Merquan, freshman out of Vermilion. Now, what makes her story even a little bit more unique is she's also hearing impaired. So talking to Gary Culver, the head coach, stuff like that, he said, throughout the year, we have to kind of let the referees know, you know, that sometimes it's she has troubles hearing. And sometimes, you know, the refs are really good about it, if tapping her and stuff like that, if they say something and she doesn't respond type of thing. But very focused for a freshman to do what she did is an absolutely tremendous accomplishment. And Gary Culver also mentioned that this is going to set up other girls within their program that they know now that something like this can be done. You know, it's these are the types of kids and the types of performances that programs are built from.
Hey, I understand you also did a story on our leader of the Canton wrestling team.
Yeah, so the Canton boys team ended up winning their ninth straight state championship this year, which wasn't really, you know, they've just been such a dominating force here the last decade plus. You know, obviously, they kind of the favorite coming into this year's individual tournament again, as far as the team rankings and things like that. But their girls team ended up winning their first state championship. Pure TF Riggs has won it the last 5 years. This was the sixth year of sanctioned girls wrestling in South Dakota. So it does have a small history, but for Canton to win the boys title and the girls title, I gave a lot of credit to that to one of the guys who's now an assistant coach in Jeremy Ask. He's been with Canton since the early 2000s. He had like a year at the late 90s with Alcester Hudson, then came to Canton, built the boys program into the powerhouse that they were, and then jumped over to the girls side when girls wrestling became sanctioned, got that to a standard. And now, you know, there's other people kind of running the show. He's been in wrestling for so many years that he's sort of fading into the shadows a little bit, into the background, but still very much involved on the pulse of all the success that Canton has had. So that was the other story I did. And the guy's name is Jeremy Ask. He's just a tremendous wrestling mind, very good motivator of kids. You know, just one of those special people that you think of when you think of high school wrestling in South Dakota.
Yeah, sounds like a true leader. Nate, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
All right, thanks, Josh. I appreciate it.
And that's your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, X, and YouTube at SDPB News, and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. As always, thanks for listening.